Hello, my spooky friends.
My name is Cassie.
And I'm Caitlin.
And welcome in to I'd Survive. That one felt goofy. I don't know why.
I did. I felt stupid.
I don't know why. Like we like haven't done this in a long time for some reason, but we just did it a week ago.
Yeah, that seems to happen.
It's literally Christmas.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Wait, it is, isn't it? That's disgusting.
The Christmas episode. We were talking about how like, oh yeah, we have time to get Christmas, do Christmas shopping. Meanwhile, we're recording, I guess. We are literally recording the Christmas episode right now. It's just around the corner.
Yeah, this is upsetting.
And what a Christmas episode it's going to be.
It's funny because I was like ready. And then Cassie yesterday was like, oh, just you wait. You're gonna hate it. And I was like, oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
That makes me more excited, of course.
Well, yes. I knew it would.
Last week, you know, I said it's only fair that we hate each other's episodes like equally, yeah. Right? So last week, Cassie hated my episode because what was that, right?
Yeah.
And then this week, maybe I'll hate it, or maybe it'll be my favorite movie to ever exist.
Imagine. I'm excited to get your thoughts as always. But as far as last week's episode, I want everyone to know that I did pour my trauma onto others and I had to tell them what happened in that episode. And this was my recap to my loved ones. You know, you did your long recap for me. That's the whole idea of the podcast.
Yes.
This is my recap.
Fair.
The Grinch is evil.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Cindy, in the end, forgives him for murdering her parents. Mm-hmm. And his heart grows 3 sizes too big and he explodes.
Yeah.
That's what happened last week. You don't even have to listen to the episode.
See, the funny thing is you explain that in a traumatic way, whereas my mom was like watching The Grinch, like the original Grinch the other day.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh my God, guys, guess what happened? His heart grew 3 times. Bigger and it exploded and nobody thought it was funny. And I was like, no, but it's like it exploded. And then my brother's like, well, but like, you see, logistically, that doesn't make sense because
oh my God.
The whole point was that his heart was too small. So it just grew to a normal size. And I was like, no. And this turned into like the fucking like Elsa debate. You know, that viral clip? Like she's the witch.
She came down
rest.
In a bubble, bro.
Yeah, not frozen. That it turned into that, except the Grinch.
Oh my gosh.
So yeah, we both had conversations outside of that.
That's so funny. I will say, I'm just being obviously dramatic about the trauma, but I was secretly very excited to get their reaction. Like I was excited to tell them. I was like, this is so crazy. You're not going to believe it. But you got to deliver it in like a, you'll never believe what I just went through.
Very true, actually.
Yeah. But as far as things we've gone through, watched any new horror this week?
Yes, I have 2 things to update on. One is boring because I keep updating on it. I watched Welcome to Derry episode 7 last Amazing. Night when it came out.
Wait, only one episode left, right?
Only one left. The finale is next week.
Oh my gosh. And I didn't realize it was that far along. Wow.
I know. I'm excited and also nervous and scared and sad because I don't want it to end. So hopefully the second and third seasons that are supposed to come out actually do get renewed. I think it will, but Ooh. Success has been great. So I do think it'll get renewed.
Are you like happy with where, I mean, not that you know for sure where they're going to be wrapping it for the last episode, but you probably have an idea.
Mm-hmm.
Like, do you think they put the right amount of content into 8 episodes?
Oh, I think so. I mean? It's been Perfect. Very intriguing and very weird and just such a different take on the story of Pennywise. And it's cool because this season takes place in the 60s. And I think the idea for 2 and 3 is to go back those 27 years for season 2 and then back another 27 years for season 1.
Whoa.
Which
I think
is
awesome.
So more of like not anthology, but it's like different characters.
Kind
of.
Yeah.
You know, for every season. So I love what they've done. I just hope Bill Skarsgård sticks with it because his Pennywise is so good.
Right. You can't do it without him anymore.
No.
But, and then your other movie.
Okay, last night I watched a movie that unrightfully so has a 6% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Oh,
and
wait.
I want to talk to some people because why is Ouija rated so low? That is my shit. That was so much fun. I had, like, it's not a good movie. Like, I know that. But it is not a 6%. Like, that is unfair. And sure. It's very corny, spooky, paranormal. But, like, you know, like, I'm a Paranormal Activity fan. So, like, nobody's surprised to hear me say that I love the movie Ouija.
Yeah.
But I hear that the sequel is much, much better. So I'm, like, excited for that, too. That's a Mike Flanagan, I guess. So, I didn't know that. And everyone's like, oh, just wait. Just wait. Ooh. I'm like, oh, well, I enjoyed this because Lynn Shay was in it, which she's in a lot of horror, Insidious mostly.
Oh, okay.
She's like, yeah. So, yeah, I had so much fun with that movie, and I don't understand why it's so aggressively hated because, like, it's just fine. It's not 6% is, like, bad. So,
yeah. Yeah. I remember when that movie came out, I did watch it, and I don't remember anything from it, but I don't remember disliking it. It was just, like, another fun horror movie. You know what I mean?
Exactly. Like, it's nothing special. No. Sure.
But, like, a 6%, I reserve that for movies like Night Swim, where you want to, like, die of actual boredom. Like, I wouldn't be surprised if there was a statistic out there. Like, someone might have died from boredom in that movie.
Yeah. You guys really are selling it for me, though. Like, everyone's like, don't watch it. I'm like, but now I have to.
You actually should. That would be so funny. I don't know who would watch that. Like, I don't know. Like, it reminds me of – shout out to randomly to, like, the channel Dylan Is in Trouble. He does some movie stuff, like movie reactions and commentaries. And I remember he watched Cats as a video, and I couldn't even get through the video. Because I was so bored by the movie, I couldn't even get through his video.
Oh, yikes.
So that's rough. That might be the experience people have if you decide to watch Night Swim, just heads up.
I think I want to do that. I mean, get drunk. I should. You know, I'm good at that. That sounds like really crazy out of context. I'm specifically referring to the Mean One video that I dropped.
Yes.
Not me, like, every day, like, you know, I'm getting drunk. Like, no.
No, yeah, it's a series. It's a whole thing.
It's a drinking game series that I do. And it's not good for me, but it's
maybe the only way that you could get through that movie. Yeah.
All right. Coming soon, maybe.
But Ouija, I don't know why it is down on that level. It should not be.
I agree. It upset me. I was expecting the worst thing I'd ever seen when I saw the 6%. And then I was like, that was kind of fun. I enjoyed myself.
Yeah. I also watched a movie.
What'd you watch?
Yesterday. The Descent.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
Okay. No, I shouldn't speak.
Okay. So my thoughts are, I thought it was good. I was surprised by the ending because I didn't really buy it. Mm-hmm. I didn't believe it.
Everyone hates the ending.
Yes. I was like, in my head, you know what? I'm talking spoilers. Descent spoilers. Give me 2 minutes.
Yeah, don't worry. You're not missing much. Sorry. What? Who said that?
I was like, she obviously did not get out. They just they're so deep in this cave. And, like, literally 10 minutes ago, movie time, you fell way, way, way deeper. Mm. Like, you've been just falling the whole time. You've not even really been making progress. There's no way all of a sudden you're just out.
Absolutely.
So that was like, I think she's hallucinating. I was waiting for the twist for them to be like, it's in her head. And then I never got it. And I was just like, well, I'm just going to believe that it's in her head because there's no way. And then I just was not aware of the creature aspect.
Okay. Yeah.
Which, honestly, I didn't even need. Like, it worked. It was fine. But it was the least interesting part of the movie to me. Like, I was more scared by, like, those really, really – those tense moments where they're, like, in this tight space. Like, cave diving is scary enough to me to make just, like, regular, realistic horror for this.
Absolutely. Yeah, I think the ending is silly. But I just, like – thought it was, like, overhyped. I actually just went and checked. I gave it 2 stars on Letterboxd, and I liked a review that says the part where it was dark and I couldn't figure out what was going on ... iconic. And that's how I felt about the movie. I couldn't see shit.
You know what? I didn't even think about that, but that makes me feel better because I did kind of have a hard time being like, wait, who's who? Who just died? Because, like, it's very dark and it's, like, a decent-sized ensemble and I have face blindness.
Yeah.
So, like, I'm just like, wait, who, what?
Right.
But I just tried not to get caught up in that because I was like, well, it doesn't really matter.
It doesn't really matter. And then there are, and I know you talked about this on Twitch yesterday a little bit, but like there are two endings that exist for the film.
Yeah.
And people prefer the other ending that is not. I don't know if I would consider it the original or the alternative ending, but the ending that most people don't see is
weird.
She doesn't get out, I'm pretty sure. So, yeah, I don't know.
I would like that better movie. For sure. I mean, I did absolutely. Like, I thought it was good. If I rated it, I haven't put that on Letterboxd yet. I'll probably give it 3.5. Like, okay. It was just good. But yeah, that's my only horror this week was that.
Nice.
Whew. You know, I got to start with my sigh.
Yeah, that's true. You do love a sigh, and I love to hear it.
Better Watch Out is a 2016 psychological horror movie directed by Chris Peckover, and it premiered at Fantastic Fest in Austin, Texas.
That's a name.
I know. I'd never heard of that one.
No, me neither.
To generally positive reviews.
Okay.
However.
Okay.
With a $3 million budget, it grossed $188,000. At the box office. Isn't that crazy? What? That sucks. I'm hoping that – I feel like it's done pretty good on streaming.
Yeah.
It's made it to Shudder.
Okay.
So I don't know how that works, but I am hoping that they've exceeded the budget at this point. But in first release, I'm sure they were a little scared.
Yeah, for sure. I don't remember this movie coming out. Not that I was really paying too much attention, but – I definitely have known about it in more recent years. And I've people bring it up to me all the time. So I'm sure it's hopefully made up for that kind of failure.
Yeah. Some notable cast members include Olivia DeJong. I don't know how to say the last name, but you may know her as Becca from The Visit, the main sister.
Oh.
And it blows my mind. You probably haven't seen this movie, but maybe you know. I'm sure you know of it. It blows my mind. She's the main sister in The Visit, and then she also plays Priscilla Presley in the 2022 Elvis movie with Austin Butler.
I have not seen this, but
it's just so two completely different ages and roles that I'm like, oh my gosh, that's the same person.
That's crazy. Wait, I'm being annoying and looking.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I recognize her. Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, she's in here. And this came out, like I said, in 2016. So she's like playing like a 17-year-old here. Okay. She's still like teenager. And then we also have Ed Oxenbold, who you may also know as Tyler from The Visit, the main brother. Yeah.
What? They played siblings twice?
But they're not siblings in this.
Oh, for some reason, I thought this was a brother-sister movie. I don't know why I thought that.
It's a babysitting dynamic.
Oh.
Yeah. But weird, though, that they, like, you know, played brother and sister one year and then, like, were in a movie together the next year. So random.
I recognized this one guy, and it's who I thought it was. He was in Stranger Things.
Yes.
Yeah. Sorry.
Sorry.
I thought we were done.
We also have Mr. Dacre Montgomery.
Hey.
Best known for Billy in Stranger Things.
Yeah.
Which I think I watched this movie before his season.
Oh,
I'm not sure. Because I don't remember him being in this when I first watched this. So I'm wondering if I watched it before season two of Stranger Things.
That would make sense, yeah.
I might have.
I'm sorry. I look at the face of the kid from The Visit, and all I see is poop.
The poop wrapping, yeah.
Yes, that's all I see.
Yeah.
I'm so sorry.
You know what?
It's child.
He's kind of got a similar vibe here a little bit.
Oh.
So that's not the worst.
No, okay.
Oh, I'm not even done. I know another person on this cast.
I'm looking at the cast. Who?
The dad is Patrick Warburton, he's in a lot of stuff, but I know him as the voice of Kronk from Emperor's New Groove.
I'm like, yo, this guy does look familiar. You're like, well.
It's like I never have to worry about face blindness with him because when I hear his voice, I'm like, it's Kronk.
You know what? He does look very familiar.
Yeah, he's in so much stuff. So, yeah, that's the cast.
Damn.
And
fun cast.
That's almost like the entire cast. It's a very small cast.
Ooh, I love to hear that.
I know. So, yeah, Merry Christmas, everyone. Ooh. Let's get into Better Watch Out.
Let's do it.
So we open in a snowy neighborhood, kids building snowmen and Christmas lights strewn up in trees. And our girl Ashley is driving down the road on a call with her mom. Apparently, she was supposed to stay home and pack tonight, but the learners have hired her to babysit, so she won't be home tonight. Pack for what? We don't know. Her mom doesn't really believe her. She thinks she's probably just running off with Ricky tonight, but she's like, okay, whatever. Like, go off and do your, quote, babysitting, but like she literally is going to babysit.
Yeah.
Cut to the boy that needs babysitting. We have Luke Lerner. These boys are about middle school age. So Luke is like the son in this family that she's babysitting. And then also with him is his friend Garrett, who is the boy from the visit.
Oh, okay, okay.
So Luke is currently looking up articles on how to get women turned on. And one article is telling him to watch a horror movie with a girl because apparently that fear can cause a dopamine rush that could potentially then lead to arousal.
Oh, yes, that's what I was thinking. Guys, that's it. That's why we watch horror movies. That's it.
Yeah, his friend Garrett is over and he's like, bro, she's like twice our age. I don't think it's going to happen.
Oh.
Yeah. Do you see where we're going?
I do, and I hate it.
Well, yes. Luke rolls his eyes. He's like, oh, 5 years, big deal. So it's kind of like a 12 and 17 situation.
Oh, dear.
Yes. And Garrett would really rather Luke not obsess over this plan to, quote, bone the babysitter tonight because he finds it to be pointless. He's like, yeah, she's 17. What do you think you're doing? It's not going to happen. But Luke is taking this very seriously and thinks he has a chance. Garrett also randomly finds what he calls the fetus machine under Luke's bed, which is a sound machine that plays a heartbeat. And he's like, oh my God, you don't still sleep with this on, do you?
Oh.
And we can tell by Luke's face that, like, yes, he uses it every night. So that's a thing.
Oh, okay.
I don't know. I'm more into the rain sound than the heartbeat.
Yeah, a heartbeat, like,
that'd give me anxiety, I think.
Same. Like, yeah. I don't like, you know, like ticking clocks, and I feel like heartbeat would be the same kind of thing.
Yes. Yeah.
Like, you don't, I don't want something that's like, I can count
rhythmic
the beats
in that way.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Luke's parents are also introduced. They're kind of strange, not very in love. Their names are Robert and Deandra. And we get this scene where Deandra accuses Robert of being gay because he's excited about putting his favorite ornaments on the Christmas tree.
Oh. Like, yeah.
That's our introduction to them as a couple. It's very odd. I'm like, okay. But anyway, Ashley arrives and Robert answers the door, happy to see her. And he brings up the news that she'll be leaving them soon. She and her family are moving to Pittsburgh in a couple days.
Okay.
And Robert goes, did I give you permission, like, to leave?
It's funny. Haha, just kidding.
And they share like this serious, like serious sus eyes is what I described it as, like. And then they both start laughing. So I guess that's like their sense of humor. And I'm not laughing. I'm a little
like
uncomfortable.
It.
Yeah.
I don't like it at all, actually.
Yeah. But all, quote, humor aside, Robert is really happy she was able to come tonight despite the fact that she must be busy packing. And Ashley says that she couldn't leave without saying goodbye. So she's clearly been babysitting here for a couple years now.
Mm.
Luke comes down after staring down at them from the staircase landing, probably from the second Ashley walked inside. And Robert and Luke go take care of the garbage and recycling while Deandra takes Ashley aside to give her a little update. So she pulls a pencil out of a drawer and says, okay, Luke has been sleepwalking again. Don't forget to give him his sleeping pill. And then once he's in bed, take this pencil, put it on his door handle so that way, if he stays in his room, great. If he walks around, we at least know. And what he doesn't know can't hurt him. Like, she's like, don't tell him that we're doing this. I don't know why, but
okay.
I feel like he shouldn't have an issue with that. He probably wants to know if he's sleepwalking as well. But okay.
Yeah, that's kind of strange, but sure.
Isn't it everything just still strange? Like, I feel
everything
like things that
very
don't need
strange.
To be. So she takes the pencil, hides it underneath the rug in the hall outside his room, and that's that. So it's time for Robert and Deandra to leave. Garrett also heads back home, so it leaves Ashley and Luke alone in the house. And Luke is happy to lock the door behind them all and ask Ashley, So what do you want to do? Movie?
And no.
You look like you're having so much fun already.
I'm having a good time. I like it. I like it so much.
Ashley's like, actually, I got to make a call. So how about you hang out and play some video games or something? So she takes a call in the kitchen, which Luke obviously eavesdrops on.
Naturally.
And he hears her saying that she needs some space right now. And it's time to say goodbye to everything. And it's a lot. And she just needs to be left alone, blah, blah, blah. And she goes, Ricky, of course I want to see you. I should be done here around 11:30. But if you want to break a few dozen perv laws, you could always ignore me and come over anyway. I don't know.
What does that even mean?
Like, is it a pervy to break into a house? I mean, the intention can be, but I feel like it's not inherently.
No.
So
no.
Weird dialogue. And there's a pause on the other end before she goes, no, that was a joke. Don't come over. And then she screams because, I hate to tell you this,
oh,
but a giant spider crawls across the counter, coming about like
a centimeter
from crawling on her fingers, real close.
Okay, I really don't do spiders.
I know.
Sorry.
She screams for Luke, and Luke rushes in immediately asking what's wrong, and Ashley tells him to kill the spider on the counter. Luke is here to the rescue, okay?
Okay, good.
He grabs a mason jar and traps it inside before saying, it didn't do anything wrong. Like, he doesn't want to – he has empathy for the spider population.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So he walks off to set it free outside, and Ashley's just standing there watching that spider with the heebie-jeebies until Luke is out of the room with it. And then she gets back to her conversation with Ricky.
Okay.
Luke ends up setting the mason jar back on the kitchen counter with a little more force than necessary when he passes back through the kitchen again, annoyed that she's still on the phone instead of spending time with him. And on the way out of the kitchen, he hears her say to Ricky, okay, maybe if the kiddo falls asleep early. Ooh. And Luke looks like he's about to like strangle someone. He does not want to be seen as a kiddo. You got to be joking.
Right.
Embarrassing. Later that night, Ashley's on the couch about to put on a movie when Luke enters the room and pops a bottle of champagne.
Oh.
And then takes a swig of the champagne.
Oh, okay. What is happening? Okay.
Obviously, when Ashley sees this, she's shocked and is like, what the hell? You're way too young to be drinking. Hand it over.
Yep.
He runs around the room, avoiding her grasp before going, it's no big deal. Garrett and I drank a whole bottle together once and he threw up. He can't hold his liquor like me.
Ew, okay. I'm just upset. Okay.
I know. Okay.
I don't know what it is. I don't know what it is, but like I'm like uncomfortable. Like this is
I'm uncomfortable and I'm getting secondhand embarrassment.
That also, yeah, it's a secondhand embarrassment and it's like seeing a kid talk this way, knowing exactly what kind of college kid he's going to be too.
Ooh, yeah.
Like knowing exactly where, like the path that this leads down. And I'm like, ew.
Yeah.
No.
Ashley rolls her eyes like us and is like, okay, wow, I'm so impressed. Hand it over. And he doesn't. Instead, he starts chugging it. Okay. And Ashley just stands there giving him a dead stare until he stops and does finally hand it over. But not until after a couple fake outs, like pulling the bottle just out of her grip.
Oh, my God. Okay.
I hate it.
Whew.
Once she has the wine, though, or champagne, she walks back over to the kitchen, finds the patio door open, and she's like, ugh, you forgot to shut the door, doofus.
Mm-hmm.
And she shuts it herself, locking it, and then starts dumping the rest of the champagne down the kitchen sink because she doesn't trust Luke, which, I don't know.
I guess. Not what I would do, but I don't like – I'm not like mad at her.
Right. She's still on the phone with Ricky, and she tells him one last time to like seriously please not show up here tonight.
Mm-hmm.
And then she hangs up before thinking twice and like she stops pouring the champagne and she just is like, okay, fuck it. And she drinks some for herself. And
me.
Then
no, sorry. Just kidding.
I saw that.
Who said such a thing?
Of course, that's when Luke walks in as she's drinking it and is like, whoa, busted. And then he goes, okay, I won't tell if you won't, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And she rolls her eyes and is like, okay, fine. And he snatches it back and drinks more.
Why does this child think like he owns the universe? I just don't.
She's like, hey, drinking isn't going to impress me. I already think you're pretty cool. And Luke perks up at that and starts to lean into her.
Oh,
But she doesn't notice before turning around and just walking off a bit, asking, okay, like, so are you hungry for some pizza? Should I order pizza? Whatever.
Okay.
But then before they can order pizza, they get interrupted by the home phone ringing. So Ashley answers it. There's no one on the other end, of course.
Ah, yes.
Soon after, Luke is getting cozy watching a horror movie. So Ashley goes and takes a seat next to him, and he finds this to be the perfect time to ask her why she's dating Ricky.
Oh,
he goes, first Jeremy, now Ricky. You could choose any guy in the world, and you're choosing these guys who treat you like shit. And she's like, okay.
Sorry.
Okay. She's like, you're 12. No, but yeah. She's like, first off, you're sweet, but second, there's actually a really wonderful side to Ricky, and the move's been really tough on us, so be nice. Plus, you're drunk, kiddo. And this obviously triggers Luke, you know, the kiddo again.
Yep.
And he insists, I'm not drunk, and I'm not a kiddo. I'm mature for my age.
Oh my God, I can't do this.
Okay. Ooh. I warned you.
You did. You warned me. You did. Yeah. And I don't – this movie, I think – I'm excited for people to die. That's what I'm looking forward to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, well. Okay.
Oh, well. So, what? Okay.
Imagine I just, like, did a whole flipperoni on you and no one dies. And it's just torture. And they just end up together in the end.
Oh, my imagine. God.
That would be a horror movie if I ever fucking saw one.
It sure would be. Oh my God.
Okay, so I hate her response here because he just went, I'm mature for my age.
Yeah.
And she goes, I know. If I were your age, I'd date you. Yeah, it comes across as like her just trying to be nice. And I'm just like, that's not.
But that's we just not. Don't like that at all.
Yeah. But so obviously, Luke is like staring at her in awe when she says this. I'd date you if I was your age. And he's like, really? And she rolls her eyes a little and focuses on the movie until she suddenly realizes that, oh, shit, she forgot to order the pizza.
Oh, no.
But that's when the doorbell rings. And when she looks through the peephole, there's a dude standing there in a uniform holding a box of pizza.
Oh.
But he's too tall, so, like, his face is cut off at this angle, so we can't see the vibe.
Okay.
She opens the door and is like, hi, we didn't order that.
Yeah.
And the dude's like, 312 Claremont. And like, well, yes, that's our address. So he's like, well, someone ordered it. So Luke walks up and goes, oh, it was probably my dad. Here you go. And he pays the driver as Ashley, still pretty confused, takes the pizza.
Mm-hmm. You know? Yeah. I mean, now, I guess I would think, oh, maybe your parents ordered it before they left.
Yes. I think so too. I'd be like, that's weird that they didn't say.
Right. I would just think, oh, they probably forgot. I don't know. Like, I would – no alarm bells on that for me, honestly.
Paired with the back door being open, which you would assume was Luke because he took the spider out.
Yes. I'm not – no alarm bells right now. And
the phone call with no one on the other end.
That's the scariest one to me.
Yeah.
No, the pizza and the door – no, I think because the phone call is literally the only thing that's weird to me right now.
Sure. But you're not going to connect them all at this point.
Not at all.
I think I wouldn't either. I might make a joke about it, but I wouldn't take it seriously.
Mm-hmm.
So now Luke starts lighting some candles around the coffee table. The champagne bottle is still out, and he's clearly ready for a romantic pizza dinner while they watch this horror movie.
Do we know what they're watching?
No. Actually, I think we do get a shot, but I didn't recognize the movie.
Okay, okay.
So I wonder if it was a real movie, actually. Mm. He decides to lie his head on her shoulder and put his hand on her thigh.
Woo! Okay. And
she removes the hand.
Good.
But lets him rest his head on her shoulder.
Nope. No, she doesn't.
Yeah.
I understand. Listen, that's fine I get it. If he wasn't already being weird. Like, you just had this conversation.
He's 12. You can tell he's, like, wanting to be treated older. I feel like you can tell at this point that he clearly has a crush on you.
Yes.
So it shouldn't be weird him resting his head on your shoulder. You've been taking care of him since he was 8.
Right.
But
it is.
You should pick up on the context that maybe you shouldn't allow that, you know?
Exactly. Exactly.
And then she keeps getting bombarded with calls from Ricky. So she does eventually answer and take the call in the room next room over again. And Luke overhears her giggling and say to Ricky, "Oh, you crack me up," which makes him really angry because he just made a joke and she said the same thing to him. So he's like, basically, she's cheating on him, you know? He blows out the candles all upset. And when Ashley comes back into the living room, they resume watching the horror movie. It's getting to some scary sequence because Ashley very animatedly starts freaking out and ranting about how stupid the characters are being. While they're focused on the TV, we see the silhouette of a man outside in one of the windows behind them.
Ooh,
and then there's a thump, making Ashley jump and turn to look around, but nothing's there now. And she asks Luke if he heard anything. He says he didn't. And then she starts to watch the movie again, but can't because Luke literally throws himself on her and tries to start making out with her.
What? Okay. All right.
Can you hear the train?
No. I just hear the sound of my sorrows. That's all I can hear.
Thankfully, she turns her head and all he manages to make contact with is her cheek. She pushes him away and tells him no, thoroughly freaked out. And she yells at him, telling him how inappropriate this is, and he's pissed. And then the phone rings again. So,
okay,
she answers, and again, no one is there at first.
Oh.
After some silence, she asks, "Are you going to talk?" And they respond, "I can see you."
Ew. Nope. I don't like that.
She rolls her eyes and asks, "Is this Jeremy?" Who we know is her ex. Because Luke called him out. He's like, "You choose Jeremy," and whatever. Before walking off with the phone to the window to ask this guy on the phone, like, how many fingers she's holding up if he can see her right now.
Okay,
and she like, yes. But instead of doing the picking her nose thing, she just puts up her middle finger.
Ah, nice.
But she doesn't get a response. So she just hangs up and tells Luke to turn the movie down because now she's kind of getting concerned.
Yep. Now I'm worried. That's the one thing. Like, after the one silence and now this that's going to be silence to "I can see you," that's going to give me some chills.
Yes. She doesn't think that it was Jeremy. Obviously, at first she was like, "Is this Jeremy?" But then after the vibe, she's like, "I don't think that was Jeremy." And Luke is still drinking from the champagne bottle, so she takes that away from him. And then she turns back to the window, and there's now a light-up Santa decoration right on the other side that wasn't there before.
Okay.
It's okay, actually cool. a decoration that, like, freaks her out. And it was inside when she first arrived, but it scares her so bad. She ended up putting it on the porch a little while ago, but now it's here. Now it's at the window.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
So she knows someone is messing with them. And she's like, "Okay, nope. Where's your hose? We're hosing this person down. I don't feel like being pranked right now." And I'm like, I love that energy. Like, I'd be really scared right now. But she thinks it's like just some asshole trying to pull a prank. I'd be like, "Oh, so we're going to be murdered."
Yeah, no. Same. I would be actually scared. All the doors are getting locked right now. Curtains are all closed. And we're just sitting tight until your parents get
home. Oh, immediately calling the police.
I'm not calling the police.
Oh, I am. If I got that phone call, someone telling me I see you trying to mess with me, I call the police. Yeah. I'd be like, "I need a drive-by."
Yeah. No, that's probably a good reaction. But I just know I would be like,
you wouldn't want to be dramatic. You wouldn't want to be like a burden if it was nothing.
Exactly.
Or just a prank. Yeah.
Exactly. And it's also the hassle of it. Not that I have any experience with things like this.
Yeah.
But you know, if people tell me that they're outside my house, it's just, I don't know if I'm going to believe them.
Yeah, it depends on the situation. For me, if I hear a voice, I'm like, oh, like if it's a phone call with a voice, that's enough.
Yeah, that's true. I've always said, like, I'm going to die one day in an emergency situation because I'm like,
for real?
No, don't call the cops.
Yeah.
Because like to me, that seems just like such a dramatic thing to do. And I'm not like, you should always call the cops, people. Call the cops if you need to call the cops. But like, in my mind, I'm like, no, that's dramatic.
I know. That scares me about you. We need to work on that. Yeah. She thinks they're being pranked. But as she walks down the hall to the kitchen, she sees that back patio door is open again.
Yeah. Okay. So yeah, absolutely.
She runs to them and closes them back up, locks them again. And then runs back to the living room, ordering Luke to give her phone because she had it she left it on the coffee table when they were watching the movie. She's like, "Okay, Luke, give me my phone."
Yep.
You're going to love this.
Mm-hmm.
He attempts to toss it to her. And instead of tossing it to her, it lands right in the fish tank.
Oh.
Bad throw. And it lands in the fish tank.
Whoops, there's the phone in the fish tank.
That's how we're taking care of that.
I love the creative ways we come up with, like, getting rid of the phone in movies. It's so funny.
Technology, like, is such a hindrance on horror a lot of the time, that silly things like this happen all the time. You know, you just got to accept it.
That's a good point, honestly, because, like, my brother, like, he loves 90s sitcoms because they don't have cell phones. Like, that's what he likes, is, like, TV shows. Once you add cell phones into plot lines, a lot of the old plot lines don't work anymore.
Yeah.
So I never thought of it like that, but I was like, oh yeah, like, the addition of cell phones has hurt a lot of storytelling.
Yeah.
Because you need to suspend belief.
Exactly. I like tech horror. I love tech horror. Mm-hmm. But when it's not specifically tech horror, technology annoys me in horror.
Exactly. You know? Yeah. Because now we have to find annoying ways to get rid of it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because it's too easy to take care of things these days by pulling out your cell phone.
Yep. We then get a knock on the front door, and Luke is like, I am Macho Man. I'm not scared. I'm going to answer.
Okay.
And Ashley's freaking out, like, hey, how about no? We don't know who's messing with us.
Right.
She looks through the peephole and no one is there. But then when she looks back to Luke, another knock sounds on the door. So she's like, ooh, what the hell?
That's creepy.
Yeah. And she tries to get another vantage point to see through this to the front porch from, like, a window on the side. But Luke isn't having any of that. He swings that front door right open.
Oh, my God.
And he goes, whoever's out there, cut it out. I know Taekwondo. So we have this big, bad 12-year-old to protect us.
We do. I have a bad feeling that I don't want to say right now. Yeah. But
oh, yeah. I know what you're talking about.
I have
I won't say anything about that either.
Okay, we're going to get there, aren't we? We're going to get there.
I do want to give big props to the actor that plays Luke. He's at the perfect age when it comes to voice cracks.
Oh, my God, yes.
And I think that he, like, played into that on purpose. It's so funny, like, him constantly, like, trying to protect her.
Yeah.
And then his voice cracking through it all. It's so funny.
That is so good. I love that.
There's silence outside, and Luke looks at Ashley and goes, see, I scared them off. But then
– good job, buddy.
Then someone launches themselves against Luke, tackling him to the ground. And Luke looks up and immediately is pissed because it's his friend Garrett.
Yeah. Okay.
And he's like, what the hell, dude? Get off me. Mm. And Garrett's laughing, talking about how scared they both were.
I thought it was going to go somewhere else, actually. I think maybe I don't 100% know now.
Okay. Ashley's obviously pissed and tells him off for sneaking around in the backyard. But Garrett's like, huh? I didn't go in the backyard. Like, what are you talking about? And cue a loud crash from upstairs. Ashley goes and grabs a kitchen knife, then orders the boys to dial 911 right now. They have their own cell phones.
Okay.
And if they hear her scream up there, they need to hit send and then hide.
Damn. Okay.
I like her. She knows what to do. She's doing great.
Yeah. Yeah.
Ashley makes it literally halfway up the staircase before the boys are running after her. And she's like, "What? I told you guys to stay downstairs." But apparently they heard a noise downstairs too. And they're scared and they don't want to be left alone. So she's like, "Oh, okay, fine. Like, stay close to me. Like, don't wander off. Don't try to be a hero.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Stay close."
Yeah. Don't do that again.
Upstairs, they find a brick on the floor that's been thrown through a window. So Ashley grabs Garrett's phone, hits send on the 911 dial.
Oh,
but all she gets is a busy line.
Oh.
She tries the home phone. That's not working either. So they come to realize that somehow this person has completely disconnected their network access and they can't make any calls. Just believe it.
Okay, no, that's a thing though. Isn't there such thing as a jammer?
Oh, what is that?
It's like a cell phone jammer. It's like something that literally, like, blocks cell phone access in a certain area.
Like, just literal signal. Because I was like, I know you can obviously cut the Wi-Fi because that's what they were showing on screen. Like, the Wi-Fi is not there. But I was like, well, It's not your Wi-Fi that lets you call the police.
A cell phone jammer is a device that intentionally transmits radio signals to block mobile phone communication by disrupting signals between phones and cell towers. They're illegal for general use in the U.S., obviously.
Yeah.
But they are a thing. They're probably on the black market, you know.
Yeah. Is it just an object that you can just put in the house and it sends out, it like disrupts that signal?
It's crazy because like there's stuff coming up and there's like a picture of like a guy wearing one on his arm. With a bunch of cords coming out. Kind of purpose would anyone need a port, like, other than something absolutely fucking terrible?
No, yeah, that's just all for illegal things.
It's like, yeah, this is $660.
Whoa. Like, wait, that's it? Low-key, that's kind of low. That's kind of scary low for something like that, because that's dangerous.
Yeah. I mean, this shouldn't even be legal to buy. I don't understand. Yeah. I guess it may be for specific events. I don't know. Tell us, guys. What's up with cell phone jammers?
So, yeah, apparently Garrett is a bit of a tech genius. So Ashley leaves him with a MacBook and just like tells him to work his magic while her and Luke head back downstairs. And she sees out the window that there's a knife stuck in her car's back tire.
Oh, convenient.
So making a run for the car is now out of the question.
All right.
Garrett check. Right? It's just like, okay, we got to get rid of the technology. We got to get rid of the car.
Wait, but we can go outside.
Yeah, we're in like we're not like in the middle of the woods. You know what I mean? We're in like a residential neighborhood.
That is helpful, I guess. I don't know why. I'm like starting the stream episodes in my head because I just edited that where we were literally locked inside.
Yeah, we do end up doing a lot of like isolated horror, which I'm just now realizing actually. Garrett quickly comes downstairs with that brick in his hand, freaked out because he's realized that there's a message written on one side of it. Ooh. And it says, "You leave, you die."
Oh, so, well, okay. So just that's kidding. Nice. Never mind. I take it back. I guess we can't go.
No. Yeah. So headlights suddenly shine bright from outside the front windows, and Garrett panics and just starts running. And he runs to the back patio doors, open again, by the way. And he just keeps running outside.
Oh.
Like, he's just scared. Everything is, like, scaring him, so he's just, like, panic running. He makes it a decent ways across the yard before we hear something whiz through the air and hit him, causing him to, like, fall behind a bush.
Uh-oh.
And Ashley watches for a couple seconds, waiting to see if he's going to pop back up. He doesn't, so she closes the doors.
Oh.
And Luke comes running over by that point, and she just, like, knocks him down so they're both on the ground so they, like, can't be targeted from whatever is out – what's going on out there.
For sure, yeah.
And she tells him that they're going to have to go upstairs, lock themselves in a bedroom, and just hide. And
– yeah.
She continues, and then we're going to scream out the window as loud as we can until the neighbors hear and call the cops, which those two things kind of counteract each other.
They actually do. You're right. Yeah. But at the same time – I like this plan. I don't have
because we're in a neighborhood.
We're in a neighborhood, and like we saw what happened when we ran. We can't call the police. We don't have a lot of options. So I was thinking lock in a room, and I didn't even think call out the window. But yeah, scream out the window.
Yeah. It just makes me nervous because obviously they're going to know exactly where you are then.
For sure.
I guess you could try to like scream and then quickly go to a different room to hide and hope someone heard. I don't know.
I guess like – they know I'm in the house, so at that point, what does it matter if they know where in the house? I mean, I don't know. We're kind of not in a great position, so
that's probably the
best choice, in my opinion.
Yeah. So Luke's crying, asking, like, what happens if they make this guy or these people come inside? Like, he's worried about if they scream and, like, then that's going to rush this experience and they're going to come rushing in and get them or whatever.
Yeah.
Ashley just tells him to stay calm and that they're going to get through this. You know, she's just trying to be comforting. Mm-hmm. And then she asks if his parents have a gun.
Ooh.
And apparently his dad does, right by his nightstand. So the plan is to go into his parents' room, get the gun, and if anyone does come inside, they'll defend themselves.
Okay.
But as they make it to the base of the staircase, they hear someone walking upstairs.
Oh, gross.
Yeah. And then a silhouette of another man appears in the window on the ground floor behind them outside.
Oh, no.
So Ashley takes her chances and quietly leads Luke up the stairs. Like, they kind of like have to decide here, like, okay, someone's up there. Someone's down here.
Yep.
What do we do?
Yeah.
She decides to go up the stairs.
Ooh.
To try to go for the gun.
Ooh, okay. I don't know. That's tough. I think going upstairs is probably less likely what I'm going to do.
You know what I might do? I know, same, because you know someone's outside the window at the front door. You know someone's upstairs. It's like, do I take my chance? Is there only two people? If these are the only two people, right. Now's the time to run out the backyard.
Back door, yeah.
But is there a third?
Right. I'm definitely at this point in the mindset that there's probably more. I don't know why, okay. But that's just where I'm at. Yeah, I think your best bet right now is making a run for it. I don't know, though.
It's hard after what they just saw happen to Garrett.
Yeah,
you just don't know how many people there are. That's what's hard about this.
Yes, for sure.
So they decide to go upstairs. They see a man in a ski mask holding a flashlight and a rifle.
Oh!
Walking in the hall upstairs. And once he slips into one of the bedrooms, they book it into the nearest door up there, which brings them into the laundry room.
Okay.
In here, there's like a mini staircase that they can pull down that leads to the attic. So they make it up there just in time before the dude upstairs like sticks his flashlight in the laundry room. He just keeps on checking rooms.
Okay.
And he's just peering around looking for them. But they're in the attic. They've not been detected. And this is the first survivability check-in.
Okay. Yeah. I don't hate going in the attic because I feel like that's kind of obscure and not a place someone would look. I do like that.
Yeah.
I wouldn't have run outside like that, I'll be honest. I think same. Like a panic run out the back door. Like you always say, like power numbers. Why would you just run off on your own?
Yeah.
Like it just doesn't seem like a smart plan.
Yeah.
I don't think I would have done that. But then again, with a group of people coming for you, there's a lot of room for error.
Mm-hmm.
So far, I mean, I still feel okay for the first act. I'm not saying it's going to stay that way, but I'm going to go with a 95.
All right. I did a 97.
Okay.
I was like, there's no way I'm running, but yeah. I left some room for just in case.
Absolutely. Yeah. No, I'm curious to see where this goes because I only have one motive in mind right now, but I don't know how that motive would work. So I'm curious to see what happens plot-wise.
Sure. I think me and you were thinking the same thing at this point. We'll talk about it.
Okay.
We'll
talk
about everything after. But
sure.
Up in the attic, Ashley is telling Luke that they should just stay here until the guys leave. But he's like, they might have killed Garrett. Like, what if they kill my parents when they get home? He's like really fixated on needing to get the gun. Like he wants that gun. And Ashley's against this idea until, I'm so sorry again, some spiders start crawling all over her face.
Kill me. I'm coming downstairs. Hi. I would rather die. Thank you.
Falls really hard on her ass, causing the opening to the attic to like open up. Mm-hmm. And she like falls through the floor.
Oh, shit.
And Luke has to catch her from falling back down into the laundry room. And then he calms her down. He gets rid of the spiders. He gets the spiders off of her. And she's also more open to leaving the attic now.
Yeah.
She would rather face the killers than the spiders.
Mm-hmm.
So this is when Luke
crazy.
Is like,
all right. What, girl? What are you talking about? That's crazy.
This is when Luke is like, all right, I'm going to go get my dad's gun. And he just books it out of the room. He just leaves. Good. He just heads into the upstairs hallway. And Ashley is sitting there by herself like, okay. Like she's still recovering from the spiders and also almost falling. Mm-hmm. And then she's like, what are you – she's like also like, why are you just – running off right like right now like that. There's a lot going on in her head. I think he also tried to make out with her before.
Garrett's
been impaled by something. I don't know.
Yeah.
So yeah, she's just kind of in a daze.
Mm-hmm.
Thankfully, Luke makes it back with the gun. Tells her both guys are downstairs right now, just doing rounds. So he pulls her into another room upstairs, a bedroom that has a closet that they can hide in. But it doesn't take long.
Sorry, I just had another thought. Nope, keep going.
Ooh.
Something in the plot just clicked for me.
Ooh, okay. It doesn't take long before Luke is just like, honestly, I'm just going to go out there and scare them away with the gun. Like, he's like, I'm kind of bored. Like, sitting in this closet is boring. I'm going to go wave my gun around.
Yes.
And Ash is like, hello? No, the gun is a last resort. Like, also, you're so stupid. Like, they have a gun too.
Yeah.
We saw them with a rifle.
They probably know how to use it a little better than we do.
Yeah. But Luke tells her it's his job to protect her, and that's what he's going to do. He's just so excited to show her that he can protect her. He can be a man.
Ah, yes. Yes, he can.
So while they're arguing about this, they accidentally set off a very loud, like, random light-up little kid's toy in this closet. And it starts playing music, and they both are freaking out trying to turn it off. They eventually do, but shortly after, one of the masked men enters the bedroom with his gun and flashlight, walking around, and Luke and Ashley are holding their breath, looking out the slats of this closet, and Ashley notices something. She notices.
What?
This man is wearing Luke's ski mask.
Oh.
She recognizes the ski mask.
Mm-hmm.
It's a specific one, I guess. And
okay,
she's like,
maybe, oh, okay. No, yeah. They wanted you to think this. Hold on.
She's like, oh my God, you've got to be fucking kidding me.
Uh-huh.
And she opens the closet doors and marches out and demands that Garrett take off the mask.
Oh my God, yeah.
So he does. And yes, it is Garrett.
Okay, so wait, but this is still the beginning of the movie. So, okay, so it's not as easy. I just gasped there? I was like, oh, he went behind a bush because he was hiding because Luke told him to do that.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
that's
yeah.
like where I was at. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
This makes sense. All right, but now what's part two of the plot then? Like, huh?
Yeah. Yeah.
What is the plot? What? Stop. Okay. I'm scared.
All right. So she's pissed. She's pissed.
Yeah.
She's like, oh, so this is just some fucking joke. And Luke says, we just wanted to scare you.
Oh my God. Dead. Murdered. Sorry. Put me in jail.
Yeah. She laughs, but she doesn't think it's funny. And
right.
she's like, yeah, well, you did. You scared the shit out of me. Why did you do this?
Yeah.
And Luke explains that he was supposed to save her, but Garrett messed it up somehow. I don't know how, because Ashley interrupts him. She's like, I don't even want to hear it. And she keeps ranting, yep. pointing out the fact that Garrett is carrying around a real rifle, a real gun.
Oh my God.
She's like, this is serious. How could you do that? And Luke tells her, because you treat me like a child. And she claps back, you are a child.
Yes.
And she doubles down and goes, what kind of delusional infant thinks that Ooh. Staging a break-in is going to get you to second base? You're
oh.
mental. You're a oh. selfish brat with no consideration, and you need therapy.
I mean, snaps.
Yes.
But also, they're holding guns, so I wouldn't yes. trust the children in this moment.
It's interesting because she just is so not scared of them. Because mm-hmm. she's like, I've been fucking taking care of you since you were 8. Like, she
yeah.
has that energy with them, so she just goes in here. This is wild. I'm like curious how surprised she is, you know? Because you've been babysitting him for so long. Like, are you
right.
not just like confused? But she's just, I don't know. She's unpacking a lot, so you can't
okay.
blame her for
yeah, that's true.
Reacting however she wants to.
Yeah.
Garrett is like in the background, very awkward, and is just like, so I'm gonna go put your dad's hunting stuff back. But Ashley's like, nope, you stay right there. You're both in so much trouble. Luke, I'm calling your parents.
Yes.
Ashley storms down the hall and makes it to the stairs before Luke runs after her, calling her name repeatedly. She's not listening until finally she turns around and he smacks her across the face hard, causing her to fall down the stairs.
Oh my God.
Garrett comes running out and sees Ashley knocked out at the bottom of the stairs. And he's freaked out. Like, he's like, Luke, what did you do?
Yeah.
Cut to a POV shot of Ashley waking up duct taped to a chair.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Also duct tape over her mouth. And mm-hmm. Luke and Garrett are just hanging out. Garrett's riding around the house on his scooter. And the two of them are... yes?
There were two people.
Okay. Why do you think that? What moments? It all is explainable is what I'll say. Like,
oh, okay.
Everything was set up. Everything was set up by them.
So there wasn't another person.
Yeah, no, I think they used like shadow, like silhouettes somehow to get see in the window. And then all of the moving human that you saw was Garrett.
Okay. Got you then.
And even like the brick that was thrown in while they were all inside, it was like some like doohickey thing that he put together on a timer that, okay, you know, it's like there's an explanation for all the bullshit. So Garrett's on his scooter. They're talking about obviously the logistics of having sex with Princess Bubblegum, some Adventure Time character or something.
Okay, that's good. Yeah.
And we find out that Luke gave Garrett some Oxy, which Garrett is loving.
Oh my God.
And now snuggling up into the couch, Garrett's like preaching about how it feels like marshmallows. And Luke is thinking maybe he should have only given him half a dose because it's kind of – it's really hitting Garrett.
Yeah, maybe.
Then Luke and Garrett go have a seat across from Ashley. And Luke's got her bag, her purse, and he's rifling through it until he finds lipstick, which he uses to draw lips over Ashley's duct tape on her mouth. Mm. And Garrett's like, that's so messed up. And Luke's like, no, it's hilarious. What do you think, Ashley? And then he grabs Ashley's face and scrunches it.
Ew.
Yeah. He like starts scrunching her face and you like mimicking her voice, imitating her. And he's like, thanks, Luke. I've never looked better.
Ew. I don't like this.
Yeah. And then the 12-year-old boys laugh and laugh like they're so funny. Then Luke gets serious and is like, okay, you're probably wondering what's going on. It's all out in the open now, how I feel about you. And look, I really don't want to shoot you, Ashley, but I will. So if I take the gag off, you won't scream, right? And she just stares back at him until he removes that duct tape from her mouth. And immediately she's like, Luke, listen to me. And Luke cuts her off like, I didn't say you can talk. You talk when I tell you.
No, like, I'm just, like, mad because
I know
you were so right that about how I was going to feel about this because, like, if I'm in her shoes right now, I'm still – all right, now that I'm taped up, I'm going to let them know how I feel because they are children. And even though they have guns, I am going to – like, I do feel more confident. Like, I'm not going to lie. Especially because, like, I'm just – you're just annoying.
Yes.
I'm just annoyed by you right now.
Like, it's embarrassing. Like, you – kids trying to do adult things.
Yeah.
Is just so triggering for some reason.
I know. Yeah, exactly.
And it's like, I'm not going to be fucking scared of you, you little baby. Like, you're so embarrassing. You're embarrassing yourself right now.
Exact energy that I'm feeling in this moment.
Yeah. So they sit in silence for a good 20 seconds as Luke just revels in the fact that she's listening to his order to stay silent. And then when he's done feeling good about himself for that, he tells her that she can talk. And Ashley's like, okay, listen to me. I think I have a concussion. I need to go to the hospital. Put the gun down and untie me.
Yeah, okay. Sure. He'll just listen.
Right. Luke tries not to laugh and is just like, no. So how about we play some truth or dare? And if you win, I will untie you. And if you lose, then you drink this. And he holds up a little vial of clear liquid. I was confused for a second and I looked it up. I think it's the Oxy, which I've never seen in liquid form before, it's a thing.
I didn't know that was a liquid. Like, it could be a liquid at Same. All.
So I only knew it as a pill.
I'm like, what is it? A shot of vodka?
What's this little vial? Like, you think I'm going to get drunk off of that? You're going to have me pass out from a little vial of vodka? Fucking twerp.
Twerp.
Ashley tries to level with him and is like, Luke, I've known you since you were 8 and you're threatening me with a gun tonight. This is not okay. She's still like babysitter mode, like, this is wrong. You're going to be in trouble.
This is wrong.
And Garrett pipes up and goes, whatever. Neither is like political corruption in West Africa. Like, that's not okay either. By the way, Luke, I need help with my paper. It's due on Monday.
Oh.
So that's Garrett's input in this scene.
Thanks so much, Garrett.
But anyway, Luke ends up forcing Ashley to play Truth or Dare. So
how do you lose Truth or Dare? By not doing it?
That's a good question. I think so. So he asks her first Truth or Dare, and she chooses Truth. And he's like, okay, how many guys have you fucked? And
ew.
After like thoroughly scandalized, because like, yeah, you, she answers honestly and says none. And Luke's like, huh? No way. Everyone knows you screwed Jeremy. And she's like, no, I broke up with him because he went around telling everyone that. So, okay. Mm-hmm. Luke is up next. And obviously Luke chooses Dare. So Garrett dares him to quote, touch her tit.
I can't. I need to go. I need to go. I can't do this.
I can't believe it's Christmas.
Merry Christmas, I guess. This is not where I thought we were going today, but is the mean one any better? No. I don't understand what we're doing right now. I like, from a writing plot standpoint, what are we doing? Like, why was this your fantasy writing experiment? Mm. I just am curious. That's all. Sorry. I was just wondering what we're doing.
Yeah, it gets worse.
No, it doesn't. Cassie?
He does the dare. He goes over and just starts, like, groping her boob.
Okay.
Which, obviously, we don't see any direct shots, thank God. Like, I didn't even want them to do, like, a fake boob shot. Like, obviously, they're not going to have this actor actually do that. But we don't get, like, anything like that. It's just, like, over-the-shoulder shots, whatever.
Ew.
But I'm still, like, intensely uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm.
So does it, and he's like making gross ass comments as he does, and then Garrett laughs and points down at Luke.
No.
And is like, dude, are you?
No.
And he is, and Luke gets embarrassed and defensive and like shoves at Garrett, telling him to shut up and threatening to kick his ass. He's like, no, I'm not. Like, leave me alone, whatever. And then he focuses back on Ashley again, and he's like, that was pretty nice, huh? How'd that feel? And her response is, like a little boy just felt me up.
Yeah.
And Luke just looks at her in disappointment and is like, Ashley, do you know what it's like to love someone who doesn't love you back? And she's like, yeah, actually, it's like a pretty universal experience. You're not special. Like,
yep,
that happens to everyone. That's how life goes. Luke ends up moving on with the game, making Ashley go next. So she asks Luke, truth or dare? And he chooses truth. And she asks, did you ever tell Garrett that you killed his hamster?
Oh.
Garrett is shocked. He's like, you said LeBron escaped out of the hole in my screen.
Oh, LeBron.
Of course. Okay. And Luke's like, he did. He was just dead first. It was 2 years ago. Whatever. But obviously, Garrett is sitting here like, what the fuck?
Yeah. Yeah.
Luke just moves on. He's like, let's get past this. Presses forward, asks Garrett, truth or dare? And it takes a bit for Garrett to get back into it. But when he does, he's like, okay, dare. And he's like, you better dare me to make out with her or something. And Luke's like, LOL, yeah, you wish. You don't get to touch her.
Ew.
And Garrett rolls his eyes. He's like, what are we even doing? We were just going to scare her, and now this has turned into shit. Like, what if we get caught? I don't like this man. Like, he's it's so annoying because he's like, fine, I'll play along if you dare me to make out with her. Like, then it'll be worth it. But if you're not going to let me make out with her, then I have a problem with what we're doing. What?
Yeah. Yeah. I want everybody to know, I know it's a movie and I know we're just like, it's supposed to be fun, but like, this is so gross to me. Like, I really don't like that at all.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
He walks off. Garrett walks off, and Luke goes after him, convincing him to stay. And while they're arguing in the other room, Ashley manages to scoot her chair over to a counter where there's a flashlight, and she flashes it out of the window at the neighbor's house repeatedly. Ooh. Like, hoping to get signal some help. But nothing seems to come of that. And by the time Luke and Garrett come back into the room, Luke just patronizes her for trying to be smart. And apparently he considers this cheating in the game.
Oh, okay. Whatever. Yeah.
Also, I guess the neighbors are, of course, away in Florida.
Oh, naturally.
So anyways, Luke's mad and he's like, okay, so because you cheated, here's what's going to happen. When my parents get home, they'll find you passed out and realize that after I went to sleep, you raided the liquor cabinet and partied hard before your big move to Pittsburgh. And in the morning, you won't remember any of this. Sir, I'm going to remember this. I'm not drunk right now.
Yeah, what do you mean you're not going to remember any of this? What is that? No?
Honestly, I'd be a little worried about alcohol poisoning. I'd be like, okay, how much are you going to give me?
Yeah, but
I'd be like, okay, sweet. I would act way out of it before I was feeling out of it.
Yeah.
So that they went light on it. And then obviously we know we're not going to black out retroactively. I wonder if that has happened to people.
Yeah, I don't know.
No, not a great plan, Luke. But no. We're not going to tell him that.
No, yeah. You keep it up.
Garrett nervously adds on for Ashley, Luke walked me through it. It's the best way. He's like, this is what's going to be best for all of us.
I mean, okay, on the bright side, it's not like he doesn't plan to kill us. So like,
right.
I'm not really scared right now. If that's no, what he tells me.
Annoyed, like, okay. And frustrated and disgusted.
Yeah.
Ashley's like, Luke is taking you straight to jail with him, Garrett. You're making a big mistake, like being accomplice to all of this. Garrett is hearing her and is like really nervous, still not sure what to do here. But Luke is like, nope, we're doing this, and tries to force a bottle of alcohol to Ashley's lips. But she's able to knock it away and it crashes to the floor, shattering completely.
Mm-hmm.
This is when the doorbell rings.
Oh.
And Ashley immediately starts screaming for help. So the boys quickly put duct tape back over her mouth. And Luke orders Garrett to stay here, stay calm, clean up the mess while he's gone, and is going to go and handle whoever's at the door.
How? Oh, the parents are away overnight?
No, they're going to be home tonight. Oh, they're going to be, they're like, I don't even know if they said where they are. I assume they're at like a adult only type of Christmas party.
Sure.
They'll be like gone for 4 or 5 hours.
Got you.
All right. So at the door is Ricky, and Luke yells through the door that Ashley doesn't want to see him. She doesn't love him anymore. And Ricky is annoyed, but he's like, all right, fine. Can you at least give her these? And he holds up a bouquet of flowers and the glass design at the top of the door. So Luke is like, okay, fine. Pass them through. And he unlocks and like opens the door. So obviously Ricky just pushes right through and enters the house.
For sure.
They've got loud music playing, so Ricky can't hear Ashley's muffled screams.
Oh my gosh.
But at the same time, he's like, why are you playing music so loud? He's like, what is going on here? And he picks up a weird vibe real quick. In the dining room, Ashley knocks herself backwards in the chair to try to make a big noise.
Yeah.
Which Ricky does hear and starts to head that way. But Garrett pops up before he can and is like, ah, yeah, I caught the mouse. And Ricky is just like, okay, good job. And then he asks if Ashley's upstairs. And they're like, okay, yes. But the truth is, she has menstrual cramps and diarrhea.
Oh.
So I don't know if you want to go up there. Kind of gross.
Yeah.
And Ricky's like, okay. And he goes upstairs to check on her. He's like worried about her now.
Yeah, right.
Because he's not a 12-year-old boy that gets grossed out by menstrual cramps.
Exactly.
All right. Meanwhile, when Ashley was knocked over on the ground, she found a spare shard of glass from the bottle of alcohol that she snatched. She snatches that up, and she's holding it in her hand, like hidden, before the boys come back and like tip her back up in the chair again.
Mm-hmm.
Upstairs, Ricky is calling out for Ashley, walking down the hall when Luke comes up behind him with a bat and knocks him out. And then we get a little like two-step dancey jig from Luke. He's having such a good time tonight.
But
he doesn't realize that while he's dancing that Ricky's coming too behind him.
Oh.
Until the last second. And he like panics and grabs the bat again and tries to take another swing. But Ricky grabs the bat in time and is like, what the hell are you doing?
Yeah, right.
Presses Luke up against the wall, throws him to the ground.
Yep.
But Luke grabs the pencil that is under the rug right outside his bedroom and stabs it right clean through Ricky's cheek, which I wonder if that might be possible.
Yeah, I don't know. I tend to lean towards probably yes.
Unfortunately. That throws Ricky off for a second, but it also mostly just kind of makes him more angry. And Ricky grabs the bat and is about to beat Luke's ass when Garrett appears in the hall with the rifle pointed.
Oh, right. I forgot about guns.
Yeah. And he orders Ricky to stop or he'll shoot. So Ricky drops the bat and gets on his knees after Garrett politely asks him to please do that as well. And this gives Luke the opportunity to grab the bat again, and he slams it into the back of Ricky's head like a pool cue. And now Ricky is like actually knocked out.
Yeah.
And Luke's like, LOL, this is so fun and awesome. And Garrett is like, no. So actually, no, we're going to go to jail. Like his attitude through all of this is just like to be there for Luke because it's his best friend. But he's also like, can we stop now?
Right.
Luke's not worried about that. He has Garrett help him clean up the blood and the pencil and the bat, you know, weapons. And then we cut to Ricky awake and tied up in a chair beside Ashley now.
Yeah. Okay.
Ashley is trying to talk. So Luke takes her duct tape off and she's like, Just have Garrett take Ricky to the hospital. We'll say he fell on the exposed nail, which apparently exists in this house.
Yeah.
And then, Luke, you and I can clean everything up, get you in bed before your parents are home. And Garrett likes this plan. He thinks that they should let her help them get out of this.
Okay, yeah.
But Luke is like, bro, you have a lot to learn about women. She's going to call the cops on us as soon as she can. Which he's not wrong.
Right, of course.
So they take Ricky's duct tape off too, and Ashley asks him why he came over. She told him not to come over unless she texted him. And he's like, you did text me.
What?
And we find out that Luke literally texted Ricky from Ashley's phone, wanting him to be incorporated into whatever weird plan he has here tonight.
Okay, what?
Are you thinking about how it's in the fish tank?
Oh, no, I wasn't even thinking about that.
Because there's an explanation for that. What do you think? Yeah, he wants Ricky here tonight.
Okay, sure.
They duct tape Ricky and Ashley's mouths again, and Garrett is really pissed about this new information because he was not in on this part. And Luke explains, I was going to tell you, but Ricky got here 15 minutes early and caught me off guard. But don't worry, I've got it all planned out. Garrett, unimpressed, is like, oh yeah, what else do you have planned? What else aren't you telling me?
Yeah, right.
Of course, Luke doesn't answer that question. And we cut to Luke fishing Ashley's phone out of the fish tank, and he had it saran wrapped. So it's still in perfect condition, ?
Okay. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Has anyone tested this? I don't want to test it. I'm curious.
I'm not going to test that.
I'm a little curious. He unwraps it and is like, okay, time to invite secret guest number two, the douchebag ex, Jeremy.
What?
So Luke calls Jeremy and he answers, and Luke's like, hey, I'm calling for... I forgot about this part.
Oh, God. Okay.
He's like, hey, I'm calling for Ashley. And Jeremy goes, there's no Ashley here. And then he hangs up. Like, we're off to a great start. Like, Luke meant he's calling for Ashley.
Oh, yeah.
In place of Ashley. But Jeremy thought he was trying to reach Ashley.
Right. Yeah.
So random. Yeah. So Luke has to call back again. And unfortunately, when Luke tells Jeremy that Ashley wants to talk to him and that she's babysitting on Claremont Street, Jeremy is ready to drop everything and come over.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Cool.
Also, at this point, Garrett has left the room after Luke told him to go and take more oxy and chill because Garrett's been really freaking out.
Oh, all right.
So it's just Ricky, Ashley, and Luke in the room right now. And while Luke was turned away on the phone, Ashley managed to cut away one of her duct taped wrists with that shard of glass.
Okay, girly.
So one down, four more limbs to go. Wait.
Did
I say four?
Yeah. I go, and then I was like, hold up. Does she have a tail? This is a new piece of the story.
Did I not mention that part? They're all dogs.
Oh, wow. This changes so much.
So, no, three more limbs to go. So while they're sitting there, Ricky pees himself. And I think it's on purpose, but I'm not sure. And Luke is forced to clean up the floor and, take the garbage out. So while he's gone for a minute, Ashley also cuts away the duct tape on one of her ankles. All right.
Okay, good.
Luke gets back. She stays in position, pretending she's all duct taped up still.
Mm-hmm.
And Luke takes a seat with them again, kind of bored. And he's like, Jeremy lives 30 minutes away, so we've got some time to kill.
Oh, no.
He's like, hey, I know. I want to watch the two of you fuck. And no. Ricky starts to go off on him, but Luke's like, I'm the one with the gun. Ashley says that she's a virgin, but I know you're hitting it twice a day, right, Ricky? The awkward silence that follows lets Luke know that Ashley wasn't lying about being a virgin.
Mm-hmm.
But Luke gets distracted when he smells the scent of weed in the house. And he stomps off to Garrett in another room, pissed off because, oh no, his parents are going to kill him if they smell weed in the house.
Yeah. Don't worry about anything else that's happening tonight. That weed, though.
Yeah. Yeah. And Garrett's like, I don't know. You told me to calm down. Next time, be more specific. And Ashley's able to cut the duct tape from her second ankle before Luke and Garrett return to the room. So the plan now is for Luke. The plan is to frame Ricky for pot smoking. So they force him to take a hit and then they drag him into the next room.
All right.
Luke goes off and grabs a can of paint and rope before running up the stairs, saying that he just wants to test something Mythbusters style. He wants to test out the situation that happens in Home Alone, where you swing the paint buckets over and you hit someone.
Yeah, okay.
He thinks that, you know, that would cause more damage than what it did in the movie.
Oh, okay,
so
fine.
Ashley is working on the rest of her duct tape in the dining area where the boys left the gun behind, by the way. And up on the lofted landing upstairs, Luke drops down a full can of paint attached to a rope, pretty high ceiling, so it's got a lot of velocity to it.
Yeah.
And it just misses Ricky's head swinging past him. And Ricky and Garrett are both freaking out. And Garrett's like, dude, you're going to kill him. Like, stop.
Yeah.
And Luke just asks if it's level with his head. He's like, okay, was that the right length? And it was. Oh, so he's like, perfect. Let me try that again and actually try to aim this time. So Ricky is freaking out, screaming for Ashley. She still doesn't have her last wrist free. But she's like, okay, whatever. With the chair attached to her wrist, she gets up. She gets up, grabs the gun, runs over to the boys, and she points the gun at Luke and demands that he stop.
Yeah.
Luke doesn't listen. He lets the paint fly. It's a perfect hit. Ricky's head explodes.
What?
Yes. Yes, it explodes.
It explodes?
It explodes. And his blood mixed with yellow paint is just like dripping down his body.
Oh.
So RIP to Ricky. We finally have a real death.
Yeah.
And this is our second survivability check-in.
No, I'm not dying. I don't care what I have to do. These children are not killing me. Okay.
I didn't give myself a low score by any means, but I'm still upset with how low it is for right now.
I just feel like, okay, so he's what, sitting at the bottom of the stairs, right?
Mm-hmm.
Can he not like move?
I would think so.
Out of the way a little bit?
Well, he can't because he's like shoulder strapped. Like he's like, he can't move. But you know what you could do, like what Ashley did before? You could like tip your chair backwards.
Yeah, I hate to say it, but I'm not dying to that paint can. Like it's just not happening.
Okay.
Maybe a little bit. And I'm there's no way that you can't beat up these children. I'm just having a really hard time imagining myself with 12-year-old boys. Yeah. And not just,
I mean, the problem is being tied up. That's what the problem is. If I wasn't tied up,
I
would fuck these boys up.
Yeah, right? I hate to do this. I'm going to go with this. I'm going 90%. I don't care.
Wow. Okay. I went 72.
Fair.
For Ricky. Because I feel like I would be him. I would show up at my, you know, girlfriend's babysitting job.
Sure.
You know, I'm going to be here. I think what's annoying is that they can catch you so off guard because you are not, you wouldn't expect them to be a prop, that them to be doing this. They're
right.
kids.
Right.
So they have the asset of like surprise.
Absolutely.
Here. And if a kid, even if it's a kid, you know, when it came to that moment upstairs with the gun pointed at him, I think I would also have to play along and I'd end up getting tied up. So that's where I'm screwed. I'm still high at 72 because at the same time, they're kids.
They
I feel like I would tip myself backwards. Like, I don't know if I would die this way as Ricky with the paint can situation. I think I would tip myself over so that he couldn't get me.
Yeah.
But Luke is clearly out to kill him.
Yeah. And he has a gun.
And I'm tied up and they have guns. So I'm like, even if I can avoid getting hit by the paint can, I'm not confident with what I could do at this point as Ricky. So 72.
This is fair. I will say there is some spite coming out of my numbers right
now. That's okay. That's part of the game.
That's part of the game, ain't it?
That's an honest number. That's what matters.
Thank you.
So yes, Ricky is dead. Ashley's got the gun aimed at Luke, and Luke is just laughing his ass off. And he's like, you can't shoot me, Ashley. No ammo. Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, it's not loaded.
I always forget that that's an option.
Yeah.
Like, tell me why I always forget. Like, because every time that's revealed in a movie, I'm like, oh.
Usually it's the whole safety situation.
Yeah, right?
Yeah. I will say, even playing games, I'm like, oh man, I forget this is just not unlimited ammo.
Yeah, right.
What is this? So Ashley takes her chances and goes running out the back door into the backyard. Luke freaks out at Garrett, ordering him to go after her or they'll be in deep shit and they need to keep her here. So Garrett goes, and the tussle between him and Ashley in the yard is interesting. He's just constantly like half-heartedly trying to stop her and being like, please just stay. She still has a whole kitchen chair attached to her wrist, but it finally does break off in this fight against Garrett. And now she only has a chair leg attached to her wrist and she's able to run away, get herself up and over the backyard fence. And she goes running through a path that seems to lead to the street. But that's when the "you leave, you die" brick gets launched straight to her head.
No, see, I'm so mad right now. Okay.
Yeah, because like, what can you do about that?
That's so stupid. Okay, I'm good. I'm good. No, because I'm like, she's outside. She's good. The movie is over. But the fudging brick.
Yeah. So she gets knocked out. And when she wakes back up, she's tied to another chair. And this time she's strung up in Christmas lights.
Oh, that's fun.
I know, it's cute. I always like that. I feel like I see that a couple times in Christmas horror, and I like it every time.
I think Terrifier 3 might have done that.
Mm. And Luke, after having just greeted some Christmas carolers who sang for him at the front door, now comes over and starts taunting the now awake Ashley, telling her that she'll thank him in the end for killing Ricky. He starts to stroke her face, which she leans into, and he's surprised and is genuine when he asks, "You like that?" And she nods. Ooh. So he leans in closer to her, which gives her the opportunity to kick him in the nuts. Garrett's on the couch, very depressed. He's like, oh my, like literally killed a man. God. While Luke is on the floor now writhing in pain from being kicked in the nuts. But Garrett doesn't even care that Luke is in pain right now. He's like, why did you kill him? Mm-hmm. And Luke rolls his eyes and is like, dude, I'm the Harry Houdini of getting out of shit. I know how tonight plays and we're getting out clean. You just got to do what I say. And Garrett, completely checked out, is just like, yeah, whatever. Then Luke pulls out Ashley's phone and is like, okay, Ashley's going to make a post. Something simple, like, why can't exes just go away? Jeremy is like freaking me out. And he posts that.
Oh.
And then says to Garrett, now all you got to do is make sure she stays quiet while I deal with Jeremy. And Garrett's like, you mean kill him? And Luke denies that. He's like, of course not. God, Garrett, we're just going to plant a little seed. So yes, Jeremy shows up. It's Dacre Montgomery. And he's knocking at the back patio door instead of the front door for some reason. I don't know. And then he keeps like whispering. He's like, Ashley, Ashley. I'm like, what are you doing? I don't know.
Okay.
That's when Luke shows up about 15 feet behind him in the snow and is like, hi. And Jeremy jumps a bit. He's like, Jesus, man, you scared me. Where is she?
Mm-hmm.
Luke tells him she's inside. So he's like, yeah, okay. And goes to turn to the door again. But Luke tells him to wait and have a seat first, gesturing to the swing hanging from the backyard tree. Oh. And Jeremy's response is literally, no.
Yeah. Like, I'm thinking to myself right now, like, I'm definitely not taking a seat.
No, I'm not listening to this child. What's going on?
Yeah.
Luke explains, Ashley's coming. Chill out. She just asked me to talk to you first.
No.
So he does actually get Jeremy to sit down, and he hands him a notebook and a marker. And he's like, okay, so Ashley wants you to write down an apology to her before you can see her.
No.
Jeremy obviously thinks this is ridiculous, but he's like, okay, whatever. And he writes down, dear Ashley, I'm sorry, and then hands it back. And Luke, like, high-key judges him and is like, is that it? And Jeremy blows up a bit and is like, what more do you want? But Luke's just like, hey, I'm just asking if that's it and if I should give it to her now. And this makes Jeremy, like, think twice. And he's like, all right, give it back, give it back. I can do better. And he writes some more, like adding some embellishments. So back inside, Garrett is sitting with Ashley and he's still freaking out. And Ashley's able to reach out with a finger and like kind of stroke his hand, trying to comfort him. And it leads to him taking her duct tape off and like just off of her mouth. Mm. He's like, I don't know why I'm doing this. And she just tells him, because you're a good person. He's like, I don't know why I'm taking the duct tape off your mouth.
Oh, yeah.
And she tells him, it's because you're a good person and you didn't realize what Luke was capable of. Just untie me, okay? We'll run across the street and we'll call the cops.
Uh-huh.
It becomes a bit of a back and forth. She works really hard to try and get Garrett on her side here. And he keeps saying that, like, Luke is his best friend and he can't betray him. But Ashley's like, he's not your best friend. She's like just trying to get him to understand that he's being manipulated.
Mm-hmm. Right.
We don't know what Garrett's going to do here because we cut to the backyard again where Jeremy is finishing up his note to Ashley. And that is when Luke comes up behind Jeremy, wrapping a noose around his neck, which he has pulleyed up around a tree branch and attached to a lawnmower, that he drives forward to raise Jeremy up into the air until eventually, thanks to some realm of physics, he's able to detach the lawnmower and put it back in the shed. And it's left looking like Jeremy has hung himself and he dies.
Yeah. Okay. No, that didn't happen.
I know.
No, it didn't. All right.
I gave myself a high score for this one.
Yeah.
For him specifically.
I specifically will be giving myself a high score for that because I don't care what this child says. I'm not sitting down and writing an apology with a marker.
Exactly. Like,
what are you talking about?
Exactly. Also, I'm not running over to my ex.
I mean, I guess that too.
You're like, right. No.
Right. Yeah. No. Could it be me? Never.
That is a small part of it, but mostly, yeah. I'm not going to listen to a kid. This is stupid. No. And if this was real and my ex was making me do that for real, I'd be like, okay, well, no, never mind. Like, this is stupid. I'm not going to do that for you. I don't care that much.
No.
And the note that he just wrote is in the snow next to him, and we get a close-up, and then the note reads, "Dear Ashley, I'm so sorry. Please forgive me for everything I've done. I love you so much." Signed, Jeremy.
Oh, damn it.
We're working on framing him, of course.
Yeah, I see that.
Back inside, Garrett is cutting away the Christmas lights to free Ashley.
Oh my God, hurry up. Let's go.
For some odd reason, he kisses her on the cheek.
Why?
Like, it's not even in a weird way, but it's just weird because of the dynamic.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? He doesn't do it in a creepy way, but like, don't do that. You know?
But like, I can't imagine a headspace where it makes sense to do that.
Yeah. The vibe I think they're going for is like, he's really sorry. That's what they're going for, but it still doesn't feel right. You know?
Okay.
So he's really sorry. He kisses her on the cheek and he goes, "I'm really sorry, Ashley. I wish I had the balls to step up." And then he gets cut off with a gunshot to the chest. And then he flies backward. And Luke is back.
Your face. I'm just so upset right now.
Oh God.
Yeah. Okay. So, well, that's kind of depressing, actually.
Yeah.
Damn.
Luke is back and Luke screams, "I told you not to touch her, you asshole." So he saw the kiss on the cheek. That's why they needed it. You know, once that happened, I was like, oh, that's why they wrote that in, because they wanted Luke to get mad.
Yeah. You're right.
Luke stomps over to Garrett, who's looking down at his chest wound, like in shock, and is like, "You shot me. I'm going to die. You shot me." And he starts screaming for help. And Luke keeps screaming, "Why did you make me do this? Why did you make me do this?" And Garrett stops, and him and Luke just stare at each other for a beat before Garrett goes, "I want my mom." And he barely gets that sentence out before Luke shoots him again, this time in the head. And Garrett dies instantly.
My God.
Yeah. That got really weirdly dark and twisted in a way that the rest of the movie hasn't been.
Absolutely.
You know?
Yeah, what the hell?
So Luke breaks down a bit as he screams "fuck you" at Garrett's corpse for a while. But then he pulls himself together and goes, "He was starting to annoy me anyway." And then he walks back over to Ashley and has this sad monologue about how his mom doesn't cuddle him in his sleep anymore, like when he was young, and he can't sleep well these days, and he doesn't know why his mom stopped. And Ashley goes, "I know why she stopped." And he asks why, but she doesn't answer. And she decides to just like close her eyes and refuse to say another word, which drives him crazy.
That's kind of smart. Damn.
Okay, yeah, I've never seen that move pulled before in horror.
Right, because she has information that he wants. Well, yeah. has information in quotes that he wants.
Yes, oh, exactly.
Okay, cool.
So that's what she's going for. But it drives him a little too crazy mm-hmm. because it gets to the point where he's like standing behind her gripping the chair, and then he pulls a switchblade out of his pocket and just stabs her right in the neck.
Oh.
Wishing her a good night before he goes off to set up this whole crime scene that he needs to put together now. So RIP to Ashley.
What?
We do see a bunch of like little things around the house to make it look like this was all the doing of Jeremy. Yep. Most importantly, probably he, like Luke, wears gloves, brings the switchblade out, the gun, puts Jeremy's prints on them before ditching them in the snow, splashes some yellow paint on Jeremy. He gets it all set up. And then he takes a new duplicate pencil that was originally under that rug outside his bedroom. The OG one is now left near Ricky from getting punched through his cheek. The new mm-hmm. pencil, he now needs to pull off balancing it on the doorknob of his bedroom
yeah.
and get inside without it falling off, proving that he couldn't have come out of his room that night.
Oh my God, right.
He ends up having to put it on the doorknob, then go out a window in the next room over and sneak into his bedroom window.
Right. Yep.
And just as he gets into bed, his parents have arrived home. When his parents get inside, we hear his mom screaming from downstairs, and her immediate reaction as his mom is obviously like, oh my God, where's Lucas? Uh-huh. And she runs upstairs and is relieved to find Luke asleep in his bed.
Mm-hmm.
The police get called and are dealing with the crime scene as Luke's in his mom's lap being cradled up in his room, being cuddled.
Oh.
He's loving it. But then we hear a paramedic yell downstairs, this one's still alive.
Okay. Yep. Period. Period.
Luke's mom leaves to go see what's going on, telling him to stay in his room. And he immediately goes to the window and looks outside to see what's happening. And we see Ashley alive getting hauled away in a stretcher.
Let's fucking go.
And into the back of an ambulance. And we hear the paramedic say, she's smart. She put duct tape on her wound to stop the bleeding.
Oh.
Luke and Ashley make eye contact. And she gives him the middle finger.
Mm-hmm.
And the movie ends on a shot of Luke looking like an idiot standing at his bedroom window and his mom coming up behind him and giving him like a comforting hug from behind.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it. We're left to believe that from here, you know, he's going to get found out.
He better.
So
he yeah. better. I don't care if it was my dying words.
Whew,
I'm
yeah.
telling
oh, yeah.
everybody yeah. what just happened.
Absolutely.
Because that child pissed me off.
Oh, yeah.
That's a movie.
It's a movie. I like didn't even remember it completely. Like, because I watched it long enough ago where all I remembered was like, yeah, it starts off as pranks, but then the kid's a psycho and he just turns. I actually forgot about the whole crush side of it. Mm. And then I was watching, I was like, oh, yeah.
You're like, oh, this is the motive. And it's yeah. kind of strange. No, here's the thing. It's probably not even a bad movie. Just 12-year-old boys, I can't.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so
yeah.
It's actually really funny because I was, when you brought this up that I wasn't going to like mm-hmm. this movie, like in Twitch chat, I was like, oh, my least favorite villain is the one from The Incredibles. Mm-hmm. And it's like, this is yes, that energy.
Because just it's super... an immature idiot. Yeah.
Exactly. I can't do it with the immature idiots.
Yeah.
So I'm just like ready to fight this kid. But overall, it's probably not actually a bad film. I don't know. I'm in.
Yeah, it was fine. There was some weird dialogue. Like, for example, that kiss with Garrett, the kiss on the cheek from Garrett. It's yep. like you can feel in that moment that the writer's presence there because you're like,
yeah.
oh, well, he's just – it feels kind of weird because you just need a reason for him to get shot.
Right.
There's moments like that throughout the movie. But yep. I would say overall it's – I'd probably give it like a 3. Because it's entertaining. Okay. I'm entertained.
Right.
I'm at least yeah. not bored. When I get bored, that's when I slip down at below 3.
Fair enough. Yeah, no, that's valid. And I think, I mean, it's hard to talk about the, like, weird shit from a romantic perspective. Because, mm-hmm. like, I don't want to, like, get overly annoying about it. It's just, like, really uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. I don't know how to... What else to say besides that? It's not like I'm like, oh, my God, how dare they? But I'm also like,
yeah,
what are we doing? What yeah. is this writing?
Well, what sucks, too, is that this is, like, happens. Like,
no, I know.
It makes sense that we don't explore this facet of horror. It could be bigger. Like child killers and the mm-hmm. different motives there. I feel like this True. Is a major one where it's like, I want her. It, you know, that goes down into childhood, like cases that you see. And it's so disturbing. True. But it's like too disturbing to put into movies. You know what I mean?
That's actually a good point because like it is a real thing, but you don't see it much because it is so uncomfortable. That's actually very true. And I feel like this movie, I don't know, like you tell me, it felt like it kind of was veering on the horror comedy side.
Yep.
Okay. So maybe that's part of, you know, how they felt they could handle it was being comedic.
That's
it.
True.
Because I feel like a movie like that from a serious standpoint might get extremely heavy.
Yeah, very.
What an interesting one. This is not where I thought this movie was going. For some reason, I thought it was a sibling movie mm-hmm. for whatever reason.
Oh, early on when you were like, oh, I think I know where this is going. It was, you were like assuming, oh, Luke is setting this up.
Yes.
Yeah. So that ended up being true. And I was like, yeah, it is. We were thinking the same thing at that point.
But I was surprised when it got revealed so early because I just was like, well, now that she knows, she's just gonna leave. Like, but she allowed them to take control of her, which is, mm-hmm. I guess, something that I, for some reason, didn't even consider. Because I was like, oh, she knows now. So now what?
Yeah. I think it's just like, unfortunately, she never would have thought he would get violent with her.
Yeah.
So like, she wasn't acting, didn't need to be scared. But then it's that surprise of like, okay, well, I'm gonna smack you and knock you down the stairs and knock you out. And now I can tie you up. And it's just like, you don't feel like you need to be on the defense for that because this is mm-hmm. a 12-year-old boy that you've been babysitting for 4 years.
Right.
So it's like frustrating, but I feel like, I'd get tied up.
Yeah, probably.
Because I wouldn't take him serious. Yeah.
Well, so we have two situations. We have Jeremy, who died, which we kind of mm-hmm. already touched upon. And I really don't think that's happening to me for all the reasons that we already said. I'm just not going over there. I'm not writing this apology. I'm not listening to a 12-year-old boy who thinks he can boss me around. It's not happening.
Yeah.
And I don't know what my score is on that in particular, but it's high.
Okay.
And then the thing with Ashley is she lived, but she did do something smart. She put the duct tape on her neck, I guess. Mm-hmm. I want to come back to the brick, though, because that makes me so upset. Like, she was outside. Yeah. I get it. It comes flying out of nowhere. It's just a moment that I guess we have to accept is reality.
Yeah.
Because there's nothing you can do differently to not get hit in the head, really, if you don't know it's coming. Mm-hmm. But even then, like, I don't know.
Now I'm like, do I need to start running backwards in that situation?
So I can see?
Right?
I have a really hard time seeing myself overpowered by these kids. It's really hard. Maybe I think that's also a challenge that we face when we do these retellings is like, you watched it and you felt the energy.
Mm-hmm.
And when you sit here and you listen to the story, you're like, but no, right?
Yeah.
But
you hear 12-year-old boy and you're like, well, no. Yeah. It's hard.
Exactly. So I think lower with her. I'm going to go for the final act with a score of 82.
I gave myself a 62 for the final.
Okay.
And the way I got that number was I gave myself an 85 for Jeremy.
Okay. I was thinking 90 for Jeremy, so
sure.
Similar.
Garrett, I gave myself a 70.
Oh, I forgot about Garrett. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I gave myself a 70. Honestly, I could probably give it higher, but I'm trying to be like, put myself in the impressionable mind of a 12-year-old. I don't think I would cover for my friend like that. I really don't.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like as soon as like they tied her up, I would like just leave. And as Garrett, it would be easy to leave. Luke's not worried about him.
Right.
It'd be easy to just sneak out of there and go get an adult. And I do think that's what I would do very early on, even as a 12-year-old. But like, I don't know. I also want to like be mindful of like the peer pressure that feels heavier than ever at that age.
Sure.
So, and maybe I mess up. Luke realizes that I'm not on his side and clearly he's willing to hurt me if I turn on him and he catches me turning on him if I don't go about that in a sneaky enough way. So I just gave a 70 because I'm like, I'm pretty sure I can get out of there, but who knows? And then I gave myself a 30 for our main girlie, Ashley, because she does go through a lot. She does handle stuff pretty well. The brick is annoying. Just tied up most of the time. I don't know if I would think to put duct tape on the wound, but I might. I might. Yeah. So who knows? Give me a third of the chance to get out of there. And that came out to 62, averaging those three. And that makes my final score a 71.
All right, let's see what my final is. My final is 87.
Nice. So 79.
79. Mm-hmm. Okay.
I do kind of wish it was a little higher, but.
Yeah. It's just one of those ones where you're like, it's frustratingly enough, a brick comes flying through the air and hits her in the head. Like, exactly. That's just the way that it goes.
So, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. So that was a movie. I'm excited for my next one. You guys can check us out on Instagram at I'd Survive Podcast. We have a bunch of links over there, including one to our Discord where you can submit your own scores and all submit 100% this week to make us feel better. Let us know, would you survive?